ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। इंग्लिश टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवत कैंटो नंबर 9 चैप्टर नंबर 5। दुर्वासा मुनीज लाइफ वॉज स्पेर्ड। टेक्स्ट नंबर 25। एवं विधाने कगुणस्स राजा एवं विधाने कगुणस्स राजा परात्मनि ब्रह्मणि वासुदेवे परात्मनि ब्रह्मणि वासुदेवे। क्रियाकलापै समुवाह भक्तिम् क्रियाकलापै समुवाह भक्तिम् यया विरिञ्चान्निरयांश्चकार यया विरिञ्चान्निरयांश्चकार एवं विधाने कगुणस्स राजा परात्मनि ब्रह्मणि वासुदेवे क्रियाकलापै समुवाह भक्तिम् यया विरिञ्चान्निरयांश्चकार क्रियाकलापै समुवाह भक्तिम् यया विरिञ्चान्निरयांश्चकार लेडीज एवं परात्मनि ब्रह्मणि वासुदेवे क्रियाकलापे समवाह भक्तिम् याया विरंचान निरयंचकार एवं इन दिस वे विधि अनेक गुणः एंडाउड विथ वराइटीज ऑफ गुड क्वालिटीज सह ही महाराज अम्बरीश राजा द किंग पर आत्मनि हन टू द सुपर सोल ब्रह्मणि अन टू ब्रह्मन वासुदेवे अन टू द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड कृष्णा वासुदेव क्रिया कल्पय बाय प्रैक्टिकल एक्टिविटीज समुवाह एग्जीक्यूटेड भक्तिम डिवोशनल सर्विस यया बाय सच एक्टिविटीज अविरिंच्यान बिगिनिंग फ्रॉम टॉप मोस्ट प्लैनेट निरयान डाउन टू द हेलिस्ट प्लैनेट्स Chakar, he experienced that there is danger everywhere. Translation. In this way, because of devotional service, bhakti, Maharaj Ambarish, who was endowed with varieties of transcendental qualities, was completely aware of Brahman, Paramatma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus he executed devotional service perfectly. Because of his devotion, he thought even the topmost planet in the material world no better than the hellish planets. Tatparya, purport. An exalted and pure devotee like Maharaj Ambarish is in full awareness of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, feature of the Lord. In other words, a devotee of Vasudev Krishna is in full knowledge of the other features of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is realized in three features, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti shabdyate, as per Bhagavatam. A devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, knows everything, Vasudevam sarvam iti, because Vasudev Krishna is Vasudev Krishna includes both Paramatma and Brahman realization. One does not have to realize Paramatma by yoga system separately. For the devotee, he is always thinking of Vasudev is the topmost yogi. Yoginam api sarvesham. And as far as Jnana is concerned, if one is perfect devotee of the Lord, Vasudev, he is greatest Mahatma. Vasudevam sarvam iti sa Mahatma sudurlabaha. A Mahatma is one who has full knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Thus Maharaj Ambarish, being a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was in full awareness of Paramatma and Brahman, Maya, the material world, the spiritual world, and how things are going on everywhere. Everything was known to him. Yasmin vidnyate sarvam evam vidnyatam bhavati. Because the devotee knows Vasudev, he knows everything within the creation of Vasudev. Such a devotee does not give as much value to the highest standard of happiness within this material world. There's a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 17th chapter and 28th verse. Narayana para sarve na kutashchana bibhyati swarga apavarga narakeshu api tulyartha darshinaha. Because he is fixed in bhakti, A devotee does not regard any position in the material world as important. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has therefore written in Chaitanya Chandramrita, chapter 5, Kaivalyam Narakayate Tridasha Pur Akasha Pushpayate Durdanta Indriya Kala Sarpa Patali Protkhata Damsrayate Vishwam Purna Sukhayate Vidhi Mahendradischa Kitayate Yat Karunya Kataksha Vaibhava Vatam Tam Gauram Evas Tumaha. For one who becomes a pure devotee through the process of bhakti, to great personalities like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kaivalyam or merging into Brahman appears no better than hell. As far as the heavenly planets are concerned, to a devotee they are like a phantasmagoria or will of the wisp. And as far as yogic perfection is concerned, a devotee does not care a fig for such perfection. Since the purpose of yogic perfection is achieved automatically by a devotee. This is all possible when one becomes a devotee of the Lord through the medium of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We are very honored that we have a very special devotee with us. He is the station, where he is Bhagavan class. His name is Vishwaroop Prabhu. Vishwaroop Prabhu is one of the founder doctors and deputy director of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. He is also head of spiritual care, training and education of Bhaktivedanta Hospital, through which he has been spearheading preaching, innovative preaching Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Actually, it is very famous among devotee circles and especially among doctors. He has been also pioneering doing Barsana camps, which has been going on for almost 3 decades, which has done great goodwill among Prajavasis and especially done lots of blessings for all his community. He is also one of the senior counselors of Sri Siddhartha Gopinath Temple. Especially his yatras are very famous. Many people would look forward to travel with him to various holy places like Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri. He is also lovingly called as ISKCON Prajavasi because he really, when you travel with him, he can get experience of Vrindavan, and devotees have very memorable experiences with him in Yatras. He is also one of the ISKCON's famous speakers, whose particular classes are many times broadcasted on Star Plus or different TV channels. Now he also featured in Hare Krishna television. So your session is very much sought for and welcome everyone. So we are really very honored to have him at Srila Prabhupada birthplace, Sri Srila Prabhupada Mandir, Calcutta. So let us welcome his grace Vishwaroop Prabhu by loudly chanting 3 times.
Hare Krishna. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपक कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं. श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्णा. थैंक यू वेरी मच एवरीबडी फॉर कमिंग ऑन संडे मॉर्निंग. सो ब्रीफ बैकग्राउंड ऑफ दिस वर्स एंड चैप्टर. ऑल ऑफ अस नो दैट अम्बरीश महाराज वॉज परफॉर्मिंग अ 1 year लॉन्ग व्रत फॉर द वेलफेयर ऑफ हिज किन्समैन. एंड at the end of the vrata, Durvasa Muni came and there was a technical difficulty of breaking the fast for the welfare of everybody. at the same time treating the guest who has come. So he consulted the sadhus and they said, you can do achman. It is as well as good as not breaking the fast and breaking the fast also. So with due consultation of authorities in this subject, he did the achman, but somehow or other destiny had something else in mind. Durvasa Muni took the offense that he drank water before honoring me with something, whatever. So he actually plucked one hair and banged on the ground, and one demon was created, and ordered the demon to destroy Ambarish Maharaj. It is said that Ambarish Maharaj was very powerful actually. He could have counteracted the curse or whatever, the demon also. But as a humble Vaishnav, he did not succumb himself to reacting to the situation which was offered to him. He stood there as it is. But what happened? As soon as the demon attacked Ambarish Maharaj, Sudarshan Chakra came from Vaikuntha and started chasing Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni was so much in fear that he ran to Brahma, then ran to Shiva, ran to Vaikuntha from where the chakra had come. And even Sudarshan Chakra owner, that is Lord Vishnu, he said, when my devotee is offended, my weapon chakra becomes out of my control. This is the beauty of the Lord and the relationship of the Lord with devotee. The Lord can tolerate anything. He is the emblem of tolerance. But one thing he cannot tolerate, offending his devotees. So he said, when that happens, my chakra is out of my control. So he said, what to do? Please tell me. He said, you have to go and beg forgiveness from the person whom you offended. Then my chakra will be withdrawn. So after traveling all these places in the universe, see, Brahmaloka is not like from here to Mayapur. Brahmaloka is how many millions of miles away from here, and that too you need to be qualified for that, to go there. But he had the qualification, so he travelled from there to Kailash to meet Shiva, from there to Vaikuntha, which is beyond the realm of material creation, which is beyond the Brahma Jyoti, beyond Viraja, beyond, you know, he met Vishnu there, he had a dialogue there, and he had to come back all the way from where he had started. Long journey he did, but a worthy journey. A worthy journey to develop an understanding about the importance of a real devotee of the Lord. Sometimes we are told about the glory of a devotee or importance of a devotee, but we may not understand it so nicely. We may not take it so seriously. But when such event occurs, when so much trouble is there, constantly chakra was chasing him. And he was running in fear, not like he was walking, chakra was walking slowly. Chakra was actually going behind to devour him, not simply to scare him or threaten him. It was a genuine effort to destroy him who has offended a devotee of the Lord. So he was like running for life as fast as possible, as mystically as possible, whatever powers he had. And it is said, whenever he was bowing down to somebody, the chakra was standing there. You may ask, like he went to Brahma, he was talking, what chakra was doing that time? He could have attacked him and he could have killed him. When Brahma was answering his question, no, sorry, I can't do anything. When you offended a devotee of the Lord and Vishnu Chakra is there, sorry, nothing can be done from our side. We are not potent enough or authorized enough to react to this situation. Best of luck. So that time what was happening? It is explained by sadhus that he was bowing down in a humble condition, in a helpless condition to a personality who is devotee of the Lord. When he left from there, again chakra was chasing. Again when he bowed down in front of Lord Shiva, again chakra was waiting. Again when he bowed down in front of Vishnu, chakra was waiting. And finally when he surrendered at the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj, you can imagine how desperate he must be. His life was in danger. Chakra was constantly behind him. When finally he fell at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj, chakra went away. So he was supposed to be the honorable personality, right? He had come in the darbar of Ambarish Maharaj, and Ambarish Maharaj was going to worship him, put him on his own singhasan, wash his feet, sprinkle water of the lotus feet of Durvasa Muni on his head and offer him food and sweet words and guest reception, atithya. So he was in a superior position as a guest of Ambarish Maharaj. But he fell, and it is said he clasped the feet of Ambarish Maharaj. Not just touched it to get blessings, just clasped in the fear of life. So what the Lord is trying to show us through this. Apparently from social status, Ambarish Maharaj was a king, kshatriya, prajapalak. And apparently Durvasa was a brahminical personality, or a sadhu, or a renunciant, or a monk. So socially speaking, he was in a higher position. But even if you are in a higher position, and you offend so-called socially lower position devotee, still punishment will be given. It is not that we only should not offer senior devotees. We shouldn't offer equal devotees. We can offend all the junior devotees who have come after me. It is not like that. For Lord, devotee who chants Hare Krishna, the holy name of the Lord, is as precious as the senior most devotee in the universe. Lord doesn't differentiate. And the actual history of a devotee, only Lord knows. You and me may understand that I came in 1999, and he came in 2008. He started chanting in 2008, and I was already chanting so many number of rounds, thousands of rounds. I chanted Hare Krishna for so many years before he came. But his continuity of past lives, which has brought him in bhakti, who knows that? We only have this life understanding. Sri Krishna has the full understanding of Shashwat Kal. So everybody's history Krishna knows. Who has done how much advancement Krishna knows. Even if they come at different times from the relative understanding of time, the Lord knows the full history of everybody. So who is senior, who is junior, we should never judge. In fact, who is sitting among ourselves, we should know. We don't know. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving a safe instruction. Respect everybody. Kranadapi sunichena taroriva sahishna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Give respect to everybody without discrimination of caste, creed, number of years, number of vratas, or number of scriptures read, or what kind of diksha has been taken, Brahman diksha or normal diksha or sannyas diksha or dedication to temple full time or working outside and doing things. All these are relative situations. And this situation is proving to us that although Ambarish Maharaj was looking like a worldly man, having lot of wealth, many wives, lot of opulences, lot of authority, lot of power, chivalry, so he was like a worldly man basically, looking like worldly man. But what the story proves to us, that even though he was looking like worldly man, he was much on a higher platform of devotion than actually even Durvasa also. Otherwise, Sri Krishna, Sri Vishnu wouldn't have treated him like that. Ultimately, what makes one devotee advanced? Whom do you call advanced? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the formula. Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna. One who is humble than a blade of grass. One who is tolerant. Maybe these two things are very difficult actually. You will gradually progress in tolerance and in humility. More humility tomorrow, day after tomorrow, like that, practicing. But amanina manadena is instantly you can follow. Right now you can follow. Giving full respect to everybody and not expecting in return any respect. And a devotee doesn't only apply this principle only for devotee congregation. He respects all living entities, so-called not devotees also. Because he respects them as spirit soul, as a part and parcel of the Lord. Whenever he sees a living entity, human being or other living entities, he is reminded of the Lord because he feels Mamai Vancho Jiva Loke, Jiva Puta Sanatana. They are all eternal parts and parcels of the Lord, whom I love, whom I am devoted to. So they are as respectable as the Lord. So it is said that the pure devotee even respects ant also. So it's not applicable only for devotees who are tilakdharis, who are dhoti kurta dharis who have bead bag in their hand, kanti mala in their neck. Only those people I respect and bow down to. But the true devotee is respectful to everybody. Even guru, who is spiritual master, is respectful to his disciple and writes, your servant, his holiness. While I am supposed to write to him, your servant. But even guru, who is spiritual master, who has initiated the disciple, also feels he is the servant of his disciple to help him to progress towards the Lord. How it is applicable to us? We may not be spiritual masters or initiating gurus. But whomever we cultivate, whomever we give Krishna, we should cultivate the consciousness, I am his servant, I am her servant, to help him or her to progress in bhakti is my service. In the process of that service, that person may offer dandavat to you, offer garland to you, but immediately that dandavat pranam and the garland we offer in mind to guru, immediately. It is not for me, it is for the supreme tattva, the absolute truth, supreme personality of Godhead. That's how we can expect no respect in return. Even without struggling with the person who is putting garland on you or bowing down to you, you just immediately offer it to the Lord. Be detached. That is the meaning of amani. That means don't expect any respect and give respect to everybody. And to become devotee of the Lord, one needs to be able to chant the holy name of the Lord continuously, consistently, all the time. Satatam kirtayantumam. And to do that, it is explained that one has to be humble, one has to be tolerant, and one has to respect everybody and not expect any respect in return. In such a state of mind only, it is explained that one can be cognizant of the Supreme Lord, one can be remembering the Supreme Lord, and one can be constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord. And all of us are here or outside, for the same purpose, that we want to actually remember the Lord constantly. Satatam kirtayantumam. This is the definition Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. Because this topic is, whole chapter is about Vaishnava Aparadh in one sense. How one should be fearful of Vaishnava Aparadh. How one should be thoughtful, aware constantly while doing anything, that there should be no Aparadh from my side to devotees. Because devotees who are, what is the definition of a devotee? We call it bhakta. Who is a bhakta? One who is not vibhakta from the Lord. Vibhakta means separate from the Lord. One who is with the Lord all the time, in thought, words and action, in consciousness, he is a devotee of the Lord. Not one who is only having external dress of a devotee. There has to be internal meditation constantly. That is a devotee of the Lord. So devotees ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the devotee according to you? So he said in the first year, whoever chants my holy name, the name of Lord Krishna, is a devotee. Next year when the devotee is asked in the same question, he answered, one who is constantly remembering me, chanting my holy name. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dadavrataha. With firm determination, he is always remembering me, always glorifying me, always serving me by his words, action and thoughts. He is my devotee. And the third year, the devotee is asked, who is the devotee, my Lord? So he said, in whose company you feel like chanting the holy name of the Lord? In whose company you get inspired by remembering the Lord? Whose company reminds you of the Lord? Whose company attracts you to the Lord? Whose company inspires you towards the Supreme Lord? He is a devotee. So that is why, first of all, we should know, if we are to protect ourselves, save ourselves from Vaishnava Aparadh, we should know who is a devotee. That means we should not go only to the highest level. We should go to the lowest level. Anyone who chants the name of the Lord is worshipable. Because by chanting the name of the Lord once, one gets freed from all the sinful activities and reactions of past. He may commit new and make a new account. But today when we chant Hare Krishna, we are wiping off the full record before. And the daytime again we make new record. This is true with all of us, please understand. Whole day we make a new account. And again in the morning we chant Hare Krishna. We don't make a new account consciously, but it happens. Padam padam yat vipadam na tesham. In this world, every step is a sin. Every step is dangerous. Every step is risky. We do not know what we do, what reaction it yields. We don't know. So we don't do consciously that we know tomorrow morning I'm going to chant, so there is no worry. I can commit some sinful activities and tomorrow morning I will chant and wipe off everything. So then the Dasha Aparadha, Dasha Namra Aparadha, it is mentioned that if you chant Hare Krishna and perform sinful activities at the strength of the holy name chanting, then the holy name will not have any effect on you. And what is that effect? The sinful activities that you perform will not be wiped off. We should not exploit the holy name for our selfish purposes. We should not twist the knowledge and exploit it for selfish purposes. Lord is very clever. Lord knows how to do things. So He has already put a rule there. If you chant the holy name and perform sinful activities, knowing that tomorrow I will chant and wipe off, He says, for you, there is no wiping off of the sinful activities, because you are in the mood of exploiting the holy name. But unknowingly, when somebody performs, it is pardonable. In our office also, in our temple also, wherever somebody is purposefully doing some mistake, we punish him strongly. But somebody does mistake accidentally, then we just reprimand and counsel sometimes. Somebody is deliberately doing repeated mistakes, then we punish him hard. Even mother will punish the child hard if the child is deliberately doing some mistake or mischief. Then many things Srila Prabhupada explained in the verse, that who is the devotee. There are various methods of combining, uniting with the Lord, right? One method is by karma yoga. We do our work and we offer our fruits to the Lord. First we expect the fruits and then we offer our fruit to the Lord and try to achieve the Lord that way. Then we study scriptures and achieve knowledge and become renounced and detached from the world and try to get attached to the Lord. And we expect moksha in that. Then there is siddhi yoga. We perform activities to develop some mystical powers. But bhakti is beyond all these things. Karma, jnana and siddhi. Bhakti is beyond all these things because karma, jnana and siddhi, the self is still involved. Selfishness is still involved. And bhakti is not done for anything. In bhakti, no activity is done for self-pleasure. By definition, bhakti is done to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and later His devotees. Nothing is expected for oneself. Neither the fruit of action, nor moksha, nor any mystical powers. Nothing is expected. Even moksha is not expected by a devotee. It is said that a real devotee, the moksha, the bhoga, and siddhis are all running behind him with folded hands to give him themselves. But the real devotee of the Lord doesn't even turn back and look at them, even once. He cares them, Prabhupada was the word, caring, cares like a fig. He doesn't care a fig for them. That is bhakti. And when we become devotees, so-called devotees, join our movement, Hare Krishna, still there is some internal, selfish, known, unknown desires we have. We want to become authority in temple, we want to become in charge of this, we want to become quote-unquote senior devotee, we want to come to know a situation where I am the authority. So many expectations are there. But real bhakti will start when we will only do service and activities to please the Lord only and to please the Lord's devotees. Sam Siddhir Hari Toshanam. The perfection of a devotee's life, that he is only working for the pleasure of the Lord. And whatever will please the Lord, he will keep doing. That means if he is pleased with introducing others in bhakti, he will keep doing that. Another thing, he will keep doing those things which his guru has told him to do. That means the word of guru is word of God. Having that faith that whatever guru tells is the instruction of the Lord and he follows that. So whatever is going to please the Lord and the guru and the devotees, he will keep doing that. So the element of self has to get out of his activities. He should not worry about the fruit that what he will get out of the activities. It's very difficult, it's not easy. But at least one should have the understanding and make it as a goal. Analyze oneself, am I reaching the goal or not? Analyze every activity before you sleep in the night and see whether I am today working, today did I work for pleasure of the Lord or for some selfish aggrandizement or some selfish achievement, some subtle, unknown, selfish things. And most of time in sadhana bhakti, the answer will come, yes, yes. I did this, but I had some internal motivation. But gradually, with keeping company of sincere devotees, hearing scriptures regularly, we will come to the platform. Like Amrish Maharaj, if I was in Amrish Maharaj's position, I would immediately use the power that I have to counteract the weapon that Durvasa Muni created. And I would justify that to save my life is my right. It is not offense. If somebody attacks me, some tiger attacks me, to kill the tiger is not offense. It's self-defense. So self-defense is not sinful. You could have justified that. But Amrish Maharaj was on a different platform. He had so much faith in the Lord, that if I have surrendered my life at the lotus feet of the Lord, why should I bother? It is His job to protect me. If He likes, He will protect me. If He will not, doesn't like, I will be killed. But in both conditions, I am okay. Why? It is explained in the verse here. Very beautiful verse is there. Narayana para sarve na kutashtana bibhyate swarga apavarga narakeshu apitulyartha darshinaha. What does that mean? Whether I go to hell, it is same for me. Whether I go to heaven, it is same for me. Whether I am hanging in between, I come back again in the material world, in material body, dying body, it is okay for me. Why it is okay? They are different. Going to the highest Brahmaloka is different than coming to the hellish planets. Going to Brahmaloka is different than coming to earthly planets as human being. With this stinking body, this decaying body, aging body, suffering. Sukha zava pade, dukkha parvata evade. Miseries like mountains and happiness like mustard seed. This is not advisable. But why it is same for the devotees? Because they are constantly engaged in the activities to please the Lord. That is bhakti. So one who is engaged in bhakti constantly, for him the external environment of Brahmaloka or Prithviloka or Narakloka does not matter. As long as he is engaged in service to the Lord, he is happy. Same thing when Chitraketu laughed at Lord Shiva. Not laughed, I mean in appreciation he smiled actually. That look at this Shiva, he is putting his most beautiful wife Annapurna on his lap and giving pravachan to sadhus who are renunciant, who are monks, who are totally renounced, who don't have any wife or any connection with women. And he is giving the lessons of renunciation to all the renunciants, keeping his beautiful wife on the lap. So he was not ridiculing, but he was appreciating, see how renounced Lord Shiva is. That even if his beautiful wife in his lap, he could give pravachan to renunciants and they also with full faith attending to the pravachan. They are not looking at the side and running away. I don't want to learn from this person. So that was the mood of Chitraketu. But Parvati didn't like it. So she cursed him. Then you become a demon. And immediately Chitraketu came down, offered pranams to Parvati Devi and said, thank you mother, thank you very much for your blessing. She gave it in the mood of giving curse. But Chitraketu accepted it as a blessing. And then Parvati was very surprised. Parvati was saying, I gave a curse to him in anger, feeling offended, I gave curse to him. And how does he react like this so peacefully, happily, pronounce to me, thank you to me? Then Lord Shiva explains, this is a devotee of the Lord. For a devotee of the Lord, swarga, naraka, human body, demon body, apsara body, demigod body, doesn't make any difference. As long as he is able to serve the Lord, it doesn't make any difference for him. I think this verse is from that chapter only. Is that right? This verse, swarga apavarga narakeshu. This Lord Shiva is telling Parvati, that the devotees of Lord Vishnu are like this. For them, the curse and benediction are not different. Because they don't ever go out of service to the Lord. In ever. So even when he became the demon, he taught Indra so many lessons being a demon. So this is the definition of a devotee. And we have long way to go, please understand. But we have to be sincere. Today we may be in very junior situation, in a very neophyte condition. But we have to have the understanding what is our goal, and we have to pursue the goal in the company of sincere devotees. Then another point is mentioned in this verse is that as a devotee of the Lord, any devotee of the Lord, here we are talking about Ambarish Maharaj, as a devotee of the Lord, Vishnu, Vasudev, Krishna, Ambarish Maharaj had complete cognizance, complete realization of the Lord's feature as Brahman and Paramatma. So when you have the realization of the feature of the Lord as Vasudev, the supreme personality of Godhead, then you also have the understanding of the Lord who is present in everybody's heart as His expansion. What is Paramatma? Paramatma is the same one Lord manifesting in each and everybody's heart as an expansion. Like one moon in the sky, but there are 1,000 water pots, and in each water pot you have the image of the moon. You go to each pot, you will see the moon. But actually moon is one, and all the other reflections of the moon. That is something like Paramatma and the Supreme Lord. And what is Brahman? Brahman means this moon, Pratibimba, you are watching with your eyes. But there is another feature of the Lord. The Lord is everywhere, ubiquitous. He is in every atom, and He is in between every two atoms also. That kind of sukshma, delicate, most subtle existence is there. And that feature also is realized by the devotee of the Lord. So when one worships Supreme Lord, he doesn't work separately for Paramatma realization. He doesn't work separately for understanding Brahman realization. Yogis have to work hard separately because they don't approach the personality of Godhead. They just try to meditate on the Paramatma feature in the heart and do lot of procedures, birth after birth after birth, progressing from Dhyan, Dharana, Pratyahara, Samadhi. It may take many lifetimes till they come to the understanding of the Lord as Paramatma in the heart. But a devotee, by becoming a devotee of the Lord, by performing bhakti, is awarded the realization on his own, automatically. For a yogi, it becomes his achievement and hard work. But for a devotee, it becomes an award, it becomes a reward. So what is easier? You strive yourself, work hard, hard, hard. On your own efforts you do, but you do some things which are very simple, not as hard as Ashtanga Yoga. You have to give up everything, you have to go in the forest, you have to be in seclusion, you have to do lot of tapasya. Prabhupada explains all tapasya, all renunciation is still external. Bhakti is internal. Because bhakti deals with what? Bhakti deals with your whole existence, that is soul. At the spiritual level, bhakti occurs. And on subtler levels, on the other levels, karmakanda, yoga, dhyan, and siddhakanda, all these things, jnana kanda, everything occurs on different levels, which is also material and physical. So we need to use our body. But when we are performing activity on the spiritual level, then we are situated on the highest platform. It's not because I am following and you are following, we are highest platform. It is by law and by default it is so. Because the spirit soul is the highest element of all the elements that we have in our existence. Our body, our mind, our intelligence, our ego, and then comes spirit soul, the subtlest of all. So we have to understand that becoming a devotee is a very precious thing, intelligent thing. And we need to perform activities on that platform. That's why Srila Prabhupada stressed on this point. Do not waste your time trying to achieve fruits of your action. Not waste your time by amassing knowledge to develop renunciation and get moksha. Because moksha also is a zero situation. Is a neutrality situation. Moksha means no punya karma, no papa karma. No bondage of birth and death. But it's a neutral situation. The soul is Sachidananda. Soul is not zero situation. Soul is full of knowledge, full of bliss, full of activities, full of happiness. So after even receiving moksha, the soul hankers for pleasure. It's not a still situation. The soul by nature, all of us now also, maybe in liberated condition also, all of us are by nature anandamayo bhyasat. Seeking pleasure, looking for pleasure, because of our nature is pleasure, Sachidananda. So that is why we need to do bhakti. Because bhakti includes karma phala, that is desirable. Bhakti includes renunciation, bhakti includes moksha, and bhakti includes ananda of spiritual world. That is why when a devotee is walking, the siddhi, mukti, bhukti are all walking behind him. And he is not looking at that. They are like shadows, you know. You know shadow, how it is? If you walk away from shadow follows you. And if you want to catch your shadow goes away from you. So similarly, bhukti, bhog, and mukti, and siddhi, they are like shadows. You walk, leaving them behind, they think they walk behind you. And you walk to catch them, it goes away from you. So both ways it is illusion. Even if it walks behind you, you don't want it. And if you go behind it, it runs away from you. So why waste our time in catching those things? If Sri Krishna is your master, you have taken shelter at his lotus feet, then everything that you deserve and what is required for you, needful for you, he will provide. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam satayame bhajamiham. And second thing is, yoga kshemam vahamiham. He will preserve what you have and he will provide what you lack. In your path of bhakti, that becomes his prerogative, that becomes his responsibility. It's like the monkey's child is holding on to the mother and mother is just running. If monkey's child flips off, then monkey's child will fall. But the cat's child is not doing anything. The cat is holding. So the cat is holding my neck, there is no pain. Absolutely, when the cat is holding rat, it is very painful for the rat. But when the cat is holding the baby, there is no pain absolutely. It looks very, is hanging on the neck skin. But cat child is not doing anything. Cat is taking him and putting him in a safe position. Bhakti is like that. Bhakti is like becoming cat's child. Offering oneself to the Lord fully. And the Lord will see that you are in safe position by his effort. And karma kanda, siddha kanda, jnana kanda, upasana kanda and not upasana kanda, karma kanda, jnana kanda, siddhi kanda and yoga kanda are like becoming monkey's child. You are doing the effort and there is chance that one may fall down, one may get hurt, one may get destroyed in the process. The mother jumps and the child is in between and the child's head hits to the hard thing, child will fall down dead, their mother will go from there. This is happening always. You go to Vrindavan, you will see. Regularly. So let us become intelligent. Why Amrish Maharaj is standing peacefully when a ghastly demon is created to kill him? He is standing peacefully. Do whatever you want. But because he is standing peacefully, fully depending on the Lord feels obliged and responsible to protect his devotee. The way the mother feels responsible to protect her innocent helpless baby, right? Just born baby. How much care the mother takes? Because child is 100% surrendered into the lap of the mother. The child cannot do anything to protect him or to feed him or to do anything, to clean him, nothing. All the activities except breathing, the mother is doing for the child. And mother feels responsible. When the child grows up and starts running around, then what happens? When child withdraws his percentage of dependence, and mother also withdraws her percentage of protection. Then he may fall down while playing in the garden and he may come hurt and she has to take him to doctor. But as long as the child is in the lap of the mother, in the first month or first 3 months or first 6 months, you see how much protection is there. Even you don't know, mosquitoes are biting you, cockroaches climbing on you, cover is kept on you, constant watch is kept on you. So what is the message here? Because Amrish Maharaj opted for complete dependence of the Lord sent Sudarshan Chakra from Vaikuntha. And not that it took long time to come. And by the time the demon killed him. No, instantly he appeared there. Instant. Before even demon thought of attacking him. That is the glory of bhakti. Complete dependence. What did Lord do? Yoga kshemam vahamyam. Lord sent Chakra as required to protect Ambarish Maharaj. Amrish didn't say, my lord, you'll send Gada or you'll send Chakra or you'll come yourself or what will happen, my lord, please do something. There's not even anxiety that what will you do and how will you do. There's full faith, full nishtha is there that he will protect me. And how he will do, it's a sight to, wonderful sight to see. When the rains are coming in Vrindavan, everybody is wondering what to do now. Like a pillar, the rain is falling in Vrindavan. And they said, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhav, please protect us. They didn't know how he is going to protect them. But in the most amazing, inconceivable, achintya way, he lifted Govardhan and protected them. They never imagined that he will do that. They didn't have the script of the drama before only. Okay, when we'll say Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhav, then he will lift the Govardhan. And now you know, I know, our children also know. But when it happened, that time, nobody knew how he will protect us. But what they did, they took complete shelter of Krishna, not knowing how he will protect, but knowing that he will protect. That is why again and again I repeat, the life of a devotee is glorious. There is a great beauty, great happiness, and great privilege to be dependent on the Lord. Even from selfish point of view, to be dependent on the Lord is extremely fortunate. Trying to think, I am the doer and I have to do something, to that percentage we say, Lord, I don't need you because I am also working. That is why it is said, ye yatha mam prapadyante. That means you say, my Lord, let me also do something. I am also capable of doing something. I also have some potency, some power to protect myself. And you do the needful remaining. So he will not offer himself 100%. But when you say, oh my Lord, Draupadi said, oh Govinda. Till that time she was thinking, my husbands will protect me, Bhishma Dev will protect me, and Karna will protect me. She had faith in him also. Drona will protect me. There are many stalwarts. So till that time Krishna didn't come. And then she thought, my teeth are strong enough to hold a cloth. And then all her so-called shelters were destroyed. I mean, in one sense, not available. Then she raised both hands in complete 100% helplessness. Hey Govinda! And then instantly Lord came. That means Lord was there only. He didn't travel after she called. He was right waiting over there. Similarly, when Prahlad said, Hiranyakashipu asked him, where is your Lord? Show me. He said, he is everywhere. Each and every atom he is there. So peacefully he is answering. Such a big demon is angry, violently asking him. It's like about to destroy him. Then he's looking here and he's saying, is he in the pillar? He said, yeah, he's in the pillar also. As I said, he's everywhere. He's in the pillar also. It is said the Lord instantly appeared in the pillar, making the pillar as his mother, and appeared and took birth out of the pillar. And that too in a most fascinating form. Half man, half lion, with so many weapons, but having a lot of nails, shouting and doing garjana, roaring like a lion he came. In a most amazing way, keeping all the rules of Brahma, all the benediction of Brahma, he released him, killed him and protected. So Prahlad did not do any attempt to protect himself. He didn't run away from his father. And father was chasing him and he was running. That's not a scene we see. Prahlad is standing there only. Hiranyakashipu is coming running with a big sword above his head, long sword, want to kill him. What sword? Even the tip of the sword is enough to kill this baby, 5-year-old baby. But the baby is standing very peacefully. I am yours, my lord. If you want me to be killed, let me get killed. If you want me to be saved, let me be saved. Whatever your will, my lord. I know even if I get killed, it is good for me. I know even if I get protected, it is good for me. I have this full faith that whatever you do for me cannot be beyond my welfare. It has to be within my welfare. And ultimate welfare, the highest welfare, whatever the Lord will do. So what is hitch? What is the hitch in between? We need to allow the Lord to do what he can do for us. The most biggest hindrance is us only, not circumstances, not events around us. The biggest difficulty in Lord protecting us fully, the first number one hindrance is us only. Because we don't have complete faith that he will do it. So he's waiting. And here, Lord, although being so strong, so powerful, Amrish is simply waiting. Sometimes when we are too strong and too powerful, too influential, we think our power, strength and influence is my strength. and that I'll help myself to protect myself. But the true realized personality knows that all my wealth, all my power, all my influence, all my strength is simply like a flickering flame in front of the wind of cyclone. It's so insignificant. What is my strength, my influence, my power? So he very well knows, although he is extremely powerful, he very well knows that in front of Lord's protection it is insignificant. In front of onslaught of Maya, it is insignificant. In front of Maya, no power of ours, no influence of ours, no strength of ours can work. No knowledge, no beauty, no strength, no influence can work. Maya can destroy immediately. But it is said Maya cannot touch a devotee who is apparently a weakling or apparently a strong person. But where there is Krishna in the heart, fully established, 100% in the heart of a devotee, Maya has no daring to come closer. And whatever sufferings the devotee may go through, he also goes through completely under the protection and observation of the Lord himself, not under the direction and activity of Maya, who is punishing everybody else in the world. So you may ask, if devotee is fully under shelter of the Lord, why devotee is still suffering? No, Lord is giving him a tailor-made suffering to purify himself under his own guidance and supervision. Sometimes the boss says, he is my student, you give his file to me, I will take care. He takes the file away from other doctors. He says, he is my relative, let me handle him myself. That's what Lord does. When you become a devotee or you choose to become devotee, you decide to become devotee, your file is in Lord's hands. And Lord will do the needful. He will delete, he will add, he will subtract. Whatever he feels appropriate for your welfare, he will do. And the rest of the life of you, our rest of the life, is under direct control and supervision of the Lord. That faith we must have. Maya will not dare to touch you. हम लोग बोलते हैं ना सांप का आदमी हाथ नहीं लगाना. That's how it is. You become the person of the Lord, the Supreme Lord, Supreme Master. No Maya Devi, no material world, no three gunas, no threefold miseries will touch you. And whatever is touched to you, when the Lord wants, it is happening. Like mother is taking you to doctor and making 4% hold you and give an injection to you. Apparently appears like suffering. But a mother is completely in supervision of the whole activity and giving the injection to the child because child has fever. Externally looks like suffering, but internally if you analyze, it is for the welfare of the child. Now that is all of our life, please understand. Be happy, be blissful in knowing this, that our life is completely at the shelter of the Lord. And we need to voluntarily, willingly understand and do it accordingly. That means willfully put ourselves under the shelter of the Lord. That is why this Bhagavatam class is there. That's why this chapter is there in Bhagavatam. It's not a story for us to learn, tell our children before they sleep in the night. We can tell, it is a good story. But the realization that is there, acharyas are giving us, why this story is in the Bhagavatam. Because the story is concerning with Ambarish Maharaj, who is a ultimate pure devotee of the Lord. And his activities are very inspiring. So what did he actually do to know that? The chapter is there in Bhagavatam. That's why Shukadev Goswami chose to describe this pastime to Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit has no time, only 7 days. He cannot go on telling him all the worldly stories here and there, do manoranjan, do entertainment. No, he has to tell him all the things which are utmost importance for him. And in that scenario, this story enters in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is meant for the ultimate highest welfare of the living entity, the personality of Ambarish. He was the emblem of all the Navada Bhakti. Is that right? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam, everything he was the emblem. Otherwise, each and every Navada Bhakti, one aspect is one person is Acharya. Like Seva is Hanumanji's Acharya. Shravanam is Parikshit Maharaj. But Ambarish, it is explained that he is the Acharya for all 9 Vidhi of Bhakti. Such a great personality. Complete dependence, and not that when he was depending, he was shivering with fear. What will happen to me? Oh my God, this demon is coming. He is absolutely peaceful. Who can be peaceful? Who can be fearless? One who has full faith that my master will protect me. Who can be Nirbhay? Who has taken complete shelter at the two lotus feet of the Lord. He can be Nirbhay. Rest, everybody in the world has fear. They may not show, but by nature, by default, by definition, each and everybody has fear. Ahar, Nidra, Bhay and Maithun. These four tendencies are there in each and everybody. That Bhay can be eliminated only when you take shelter of the Lord willfully with full knowledge and full cognizance and with full nishtha. So let us all meditate. Let us all meditate on the personality of Ambarish by reading this chapter again and again. How we can adopt the mood of Ambarish Maharaj in our life. And everything in bhakti is not external. Nothing is external. Everything is internal. Bhakti is the internal journey of a devotee to the Lord. What he is doing outside, what service he is doing, what he is busy in, what position he is holding, are all temporary. What journey he is doing within himself towards the Lord, what purification is taking place in his soul, that is bhakti. So let us not get impressed by external things. Let us meditate internally and gain the inspiration from personalities like Ambarish Maharaj to progress ourselves from within. Spiritual progress. Not that I came in temple as a simple devotee and in 5 years I became president. And now I am becoming the zonal secretary. And now I am becoming governing body commissioner. This is not necessarily the science of improvement or progress. What is progress is how humble I have become, how tolerant I have become, how subservient to devotees I have become, how respectful I am, how I am not respecting any respect for myself. That is progress. How I am getting attached to the Lord, lotus feet of the Lord, how I am becoming more and more dependent day by day on the Lord. That is a sign of internal progress. And the Lord, fortunately and luckily, is only watching at that improvement. He is Bhavagrahi Janardhan. He is not impressed by anything external because all the external things are his manifestation only. It is his mercy only. What is yours and mine is internal bhav that we have developed. That internal bhav is impressive to the Lord. Lord gets impressed with the internal bhav. What made him send a chakra instantly? The internal bhav of Ambarish, of complete dependence. Right? And Gajendra also called. It is said that when Gajendra called, "Hey Govind, hey Gopal, please save me. My foot is in the mouth of a crocodile and I'm about to get finished, knowing well nobody can save me." Before we end, we should tell this very much. What does complete dependence do? How does it make Lord act? It is said Lord immediately sat on Garuda and told him to go so fast that Garuda actually fainted with froth in the mouth. He flew with so much speed that he couldn't manage himself. So what the Lord did? Lord picked up Garuda, put him on his shoulder and brought him down. So there was no time. There was no time for, you know, rejuvenating Garuda. Instead of being on the shoulder of Garuda, he lifted Garuda on his shoulder and came down instantly and instantly took him out. Whom? Gajendra. And Garuda got rejuvenated a little later. So this is our Lord. It is said the distance, so much distance was travelled in few moments by Vishnu to save his dear devotee who is calling in utter helplessness. He is exhausted, is completely helpless, and he is calling the Lord in that utter helplessness condition. That is attracting the Lord. Somebody is taking utter shelter of me in complete helplessness. That inspires the Lord to come and help. So it's an easy method, no? It's an easy method actually. You willfully understanding point of view, fully understanding, you accept the shelter of the Lord. And that is possible while you are living in the temple, you are living outside the temple, doing a business, doing a job, or doing some grihastha life outside, having responsibilities, money, family, wealth. It doesn't make difference. Because ultimately it is not external show. What dress I wear and how do I present myself, in which form. Do I have 1 foot tall, 1 foot long shikha, or have 1 inch long shikha? It doesn't make any difference. What makes difference is dependence of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Yes, Microphone can be given. आवाज करना Give out what?
Our faith on them, because you know, they will have when you are doing those services, and when you are doing chanting, reading, so those things we can depend on Lord. But when we are doing our day-to-day services or various way we want to execute, but we are working with devotees who are maybe in some position or maybe they are managing, but many times we see they are maybe not qualified. Maybe they are like our equals, they have many imperfections. And it seems so, like they were hindrance.
So what is the question? What is the question?
How to tackle doing this situation?
In all conditions of life, in all conditions of life, our faith is on the Supreme Lord and Guru. Please understand this. All the time, whatever I do, under whichever devotee I work, whom I feel he is not maybe qualified enough or advanced enough or, you know, for keeping faith in him, I may not feel he is qualified. But while I work with fellow devotees, my faith is not on ex-devotee. My faith is always on the spiritual master and the Lord. And through the power of that faith which I have in the spiritual master and the Lord, my life is governed. And the current lot of devotees that you have received by the mercy of the Lord, to work with them, to serve them, to cooperate with them, are the perfect arrangement for you to make advancement in your bhakti. Perfect arrangement for making purification for you as such. Whenever Lord will shift you somewhere else, he will arrange perfect situation amongst devotees for you to make further progress from that situation. In all conditions of life, Lord has created perfect situation for each and every devotee to make advancement now in the current position. We have to have that faith, because when we have that faith, Lord will respond to that faith. And advancing in bhakti is not walking on the rose petals. There will be challenges, there will be dangers, there will be tests, there will be suffering. But we have to reconcile all the tests, all the suffering, all the challenges as the mercy of the Lord and accept it gratefully. So if I don't get along with some devotee, it may be purification of my ego. I have to still cooperate with him. You can always discuss with the authorities and with your spiritual master. But finally you have to get along with the situation. Like Arjuna was ordered by Krishna, kill Karna. He had the scope to discuss that. Why is it like this? I don't like it. I don't feel like doing it. The scriptures say this, rules say this. There was discussion. But in the end, he followed what Krishna was told. So like that, when you come across difficulties, you can approach XYZ devotees and discuss with them. But finally, at the end of the day, you have to cooperate and you have to work and go ahead accordingly. You cannot change your situations as per our mental feelings. Today I am happy, the devotees were cooperative. Tomorrow I am unhappy, I want to leave and go to some other temple. Because no situation in the world will be completely as per our mental desire. It will never be like that. So if we have chosen one path and we have told Krishna, yes my Lord, I am in your college now. Please teach me in the best possible way. He will decide how much pain to give, how much happiness to give, how much satisfaction to give, how much dissatisfaction to give. And we have faith, even if I have given dissatisfaction, given happiness or given pleasure, it is all in the plan of the Lord. And I accept it, my Lord. I understand fully it is your plan, not his plan or not his plan. This experience that I am getting is not his plan or his desire. It is your desire, my Lord. So I accept it. The demon was produced for Ambarish Maharaj. Immediately he accepted, this is your plan, my Lord. Do whatever you like. And Krishna came running with chakra to Bhishma Dev. immediately he said, whatever you want, my Lord, I'm here. It may be defamy for him, it may be painful for him, but he's just saying, your wish, my Lord, thy will be done. That's how we should be. Then even difficult conditions will turn to be beneficial for us. All these so-called miseries of life in a devotee turn out to be good for his welfare because he loves the Lord. This is a statement given in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. All the miseries of devotees are actually turning to the welfare of a devotee because they love Lord. That means for all those who love the Lord, everything that is ordained by the Lord is for the welfare of the Lord, of the devotee. Any other question? Yes, sir. Is my friend Atul Agarwal. He has come today. Yes, sir.
If we are going into the service of Lord, why should we at all look for anything good or bad for us? Whatever it is, we are in the service of the Lord. Whatever is happening is good for me.
So what is the question?
My question is, why should we be looking for anything good, whether it is in it, whether there is good in it for me or not? I don't exist. I am in the service of Lord. Whatever is happening is His will. So why should we at all be bothered about what is happening?
That is the most ideal situation. But we humbly accept that I am a patient and I have come to the hospital to get cured. I have got cough, cold, fever, pain, and this is my doctor and I am going to follow his instruction. Once I offer myself to the doctor, then doctor will decide what injection to give painful to you or what tablet to give pleasurable to you, what sweet medicine to give you or bitter medicine to give you. And one more I want to add one statement. Our life is in service to Krishna only when we are following the order of a spiritual master, not the way I think I am in service to Krishna. It's not my decision. My service to Krishna, my bhakti is fully under the order of Guru. That makes it bhakti. What I feel which is in service to Krishna may not be service to Krishna. And in that situation, then we leave it to the Lord. Khushi aayegi, gam aayega. Hum aapki seva mein hain. Anything else you want to comment? Yes, Prabhuji. Try your best to follow the order of Guru in all conditions of life. Like if Guru has told you, work under this man. Whatever he tells you, do it. That is bhakti for you. And you may say, Gurudev, I don't have faith in this man the way I have faith in you. But Gurudev says, I am telling you, follow this man. Then whatever he does to you is actually under the purview of spiritual master. Spiritual master will work through him to purify you and me. If he gives option, take the option. Do the needful to please him. If he's saying no option for you, follow him as it is, no choice for you, then accept it. If he says take the choice, take the choice. What you have to be attached to? Following the order of Guru and trying to please him by following his order. What will please him? Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. If we please him, yasya means him, spiritual master, Lord will be pleased. And if he gives choice to you, take the choice. Any other? Yes, take the microphone. Sign of love. The person whom we are depending upon suppose externally is getting attacked and the person's mission is at stake, and out of love you retaliate. Our movement of bhakti is not impersonal, it's not mechanical. Our movement of bhakti is full of emotions. When Krishna is eating dirt, Yashoda is crying. He will die. He will fall sick if he eats dirt. Why she should feel? She is a devotee. She should understand he is Lord. But bhakti is not devoid of emotions. So when your Lord's mission is at stake, you go all out. Why Arjuna had to fight? Then he said, I sit down here, my Lord, you do needful. Make us king and you do the war. I don't want to do any effort. But the Lord wanted him to fight. So with full emotions and vigor and anger and whatever is required to do the war, he fought the war. So defending the Lord's mission is not advised. Finally, in your bhakti also, when you depend on somebody, the person's mission is at a stake. You will watch, oh, he's all powerful. There's a time for you to show your emotions for him, the love that you have for him. It's not contradiction. I don't think it's contradiction. The Lord is expecting you to run his mission. Is it not true? Otherwise, all of us can sit in temple here and do our bhajan, and automatically people will keep coming inside here. No. Lord is happy to engage you in his mission to bring more and more souls at his lotus feet. So it looks like, am I serving him or he is in control, or I am in control, or who is in control? It may be confusing. Just do the needful, what has been told. His order is coming through spiritual master, and Guru's order is coming through the senior devotees. Just simply obey and you will come to know exactly what to do at what time. No confusion is there in that case. Hare Krishna. So shall we end here? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Ambarish Maharaj ki, Bhaktavatsal Bhagavan ki, Jai.